Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Deborah Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Starting with verse 26, but before we do, I want to just give you a brief history of what's going on in John the 6th chapter. Jesus has fed the masses. He's fed the 5,000. His disciples have already encountered the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Peter's walked on the water. Jesus has led them across. The masses have continued to follow Jesus because he is healing all who are oppressed. He's healing all of them. And so the fame and the name of Jesus of Nazareth is spreading across the Galilee and across Israel. Now the people are running to hear him. And they're coming to him. And he knows that they are coming because of the bread and because of the miracles. Now there's much danger in Jerusalem. They're already plotting to kill him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests and all the powers that be and the religious leaders of Israel have already rejected this Messiah. And yet the people, the common people, are hungry for this man's voice and for his words. As the miracles continue, he addresses this crowd and he says in John, the 6th chapter, and he says in verse 26, and Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you... most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. So he knows exactly where people are at. He knows where you're at tonight. He knows where I'm at tonight. That's why it's absolutely crazy for us to come into a church and try to be anything. It's stupid. Because we're not fooling anybody. And if we're trying to impress each other, that's absolutely stupid. And the great thing about getting old is you really realize that you're no longer cool, and trying to be cool is just really a lost art. So you can kind of just relax in your own skin and become who you're supposed to be. Maybe that's why God uses old people. Thank God there's only one Sarah in the Word of God. But he uses their selfishness to begin a teaching moment with them about who he is. And he says in John 6:27, now I'm going to be reading a lot of scriptures before we get into communion, so bear with me. He says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures for everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set a seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. And Jesus said, listen, you don't have to labor to try to get something from me. And from God, all you have to do is believe, is release your faith. But they still aren't happy. They still want a sign. They want a wonder. And so they introduce this topic about manna. And it says in verse 30 of John 6, it says, therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now they introduce the topic of manna. They're Jews. He knows exactly where they're at. And he tells them in John the 6th chapter, looking at verse 38, he begins to release one of the things that he is. Now the I am that I am, of course, is Jesus. He met Moses in the burning bush. I am that I am. And this is one of the I am's in the book of John. And he says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? That was repulsive to them. Then Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say unto you, now this is hard to hear, but listen. Assuredly, I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That's a hard thing to hear and a hard thing to say. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Now, many of you are ex-religious something else, and you're thinking about how you have taken communion in the past. I'm going to ask you to take that thought and put it aside, because that is not what this is saying right now. Listen to what the Spirit of God is teaching us in the 21st century from this passage of Scripture. Jesus says to them, The Jews quarreled, and he says in verse 53, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in him. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him.'" Period. They were blown away. The Jews were repulsed by all this. They said, "How can anybody eat his flesh and drink his blood?" For one thing, it was absolutely against the law in the Torah for anyone to partake of cannibalism or for anyone to partake of any kind of blood. It was strictly forbidden. So we know that he's not speaking literally about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." They brought up the topic of manna. He takes the manna and he uses it as a teaching moment to bring a title of who he is. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me." Now, this is a very, very difficult passage to preach. And we're taking communion tonight, but I believe locked in this passage, in this mystery, there is an incredible truth that if you and I get a hold of it, it is crystal clear and it will change our lives. So you can let your minds wander right now, or you can give me your attention and you can learn from the Holy Spirit what Jesus is saying in here. He said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood." Now let's go back for just a moment. He's not speaking literally because he then says in verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." In other words, he's not saying, literally eat my flesh, literally drink my blood. I'm not literally going to appear to you. You're not literally going to be doing this. There is a meaning in the title, the bread of life, the manna from heaven. So, Lord, what exactly are you saying? And how? And what has this got to do with us and communion tonight? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go back to manna, shall we? Let's go back to the origins of this. Manna. What is manna? Glad you asked. Manna is bread from heaven. It's angels' food, according to the Psalms. It was sweet like pastry. It was like a coriander seed that was crushed and ground like flour. It was like a beautiful puff, oily, sweet, honeydew-kissed pastry. And they had to collect it every single day, except for the sixth day, which was the day before the Sabbath, and then they were instructed by God to collect a double portion for the Sabbath. Now, this all started because the Jews, as they were coming out of Egypt, had no food. And they murmured and they complained to Moses, and they said, "You've brought us out here to die." And God says, "I'm going to test you in the wilderness, and I'm going to rain down bread from heaven, and I'm going to feed you every day." So it says in Exodus 16:15, it says, "So when the children of Israel saw it, the manna, the first time it looked like frost on the ground, the first morning they ever saw it." Now remember, they'd been out in the wilderness now about a month and a half. Their supplies are gone. They have no food. There's over 1.5 million of them. How are they going to get fed? God's just brought quail into the camps. They've eaten the meat. And now in the morning, there is like a snowfall on the ground. And they look at it and they say, they did not know what it was. So let's look at Exodus 16:15. "So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is this?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat.'" Now the word manna means, what is this? Who did this? The word manna means, what is this? Who did this? The word manna means, what is this? And who did this? And God said, every day, I'm going to give you the bread from heaven. And so for 40 years, Israel, every day except for the day of the Sabbath, got up and collected, before the sun was hot, because it would melt after that, collected the manna, the supply of bread from heaven, the angel food, for that day. And they named it manna, and they said, what is this? And who did this? So when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, I am the manna, he is the what and the who of this story. Now let's go on. The purpose of manna. The purpose of manna was to teach man that he cannot live by natural bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I'll prove it to you in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 3. So the purpose of manna, and this is what Moses says to the children of Israel. So he, meaning God, has humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So manna, what is it? Who did it? Jesus said, I am the manna. I am the bread of life. I'm the what and I'm the who. What's the purpose of it? The purpose of the manna in the Old Testament, it was an illustration in the natural for what was coming through Messiah. In our generation now, as we look back to the cross, they were looking to the cross. Jesus is now saying that he is the absolute substance of our lives. That you and I cannot live by natural means. That when you try to just live by bread alone, you will never reach destiny. You will never be satisfied. You will never fulfill what God has for your life. You will never experience the supernatural. And you will fall away because he says, I am the bread of life. If you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, you will have life in you. What is God saying? The manna that Jesus is, the what and the who, every day is the substance of life that you and I have got to have to survive, to grow, and to live and become sons and daughters of the living God in this generation. Now, I know you don't speak Hebrew, and I know you don't speak Greek, and I know we're in the 21st century, and I know that we Twitter, and we Facebook, and we channel surf, and that we are inundated and inundated with all kinds of busyness. But can we just travel back millenniums to learn? Because it's in the Word of God to teach us something. So God says, all right, you're not going to be able to live by bread alone. Natural ways. You'll not be able to grow this spiritual food on your own. You'll not be able to produce what you're going to need to live. You're not going to be able, because it's supernatural. And God says, this is what you're going to have to do. You are going to have to gather it every day. You can't produce it. You can't bring it forth. You can't grow it. You can't make it happen. All you can do is gather it and eat it. Are you hearing me? And this is what he said. He said to Israel that they were to pick up an omer of manna every day. So what does that mean? What God was saying to his people is that every day there's a measure. The word omer there means fullness. It also has another meaning. Same word in Hebrew. It means, definition number two, promise, speech, answer, word. Promise, speech, answer, word. Omer. Omer is the measure of manna that they were to pick up every day. An omer, first definition, was 1/10 of an ephah. It was about a half of a gallon of manna for each person in their family. He said, I want you to pick up an omer. Gather it and pick it up. So manna, what is it? Who did it? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. God says, I'm proving you that you can't live by the natural, but you've got to live by the supernatural. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Did he not say that in Deuteronomy 8:3? Now, omer, God said, pick it up, gather it up, an omer's worth, an omer, full measure. First definition, full measure. Second definition, speech, promise, answer, word. What is God saying? You see, in everything in the Old Testament, there are symbols and there are stories and there are pictures of what's coming. They were not just picking up this manna, this angel food, so that they could just have a story to tell their kids. And this is not recorded in the Old Testament so that the Gentile church of the 21st century can walk through our Christianity and not understand the depth of what's going on there. Jesus said, I am the manna, I am the bread, I am the truth, I am the word made flesh. And what God is saying is that when you begin to gather the truth, when you begin every day to pick up and ingest the living word of God and the written word of God and the promise of God and the speech of God and the answer of God, you begin to feed on the living bread of life himself, the almighty I am, because he has enough word and enough answer and enough promise for every day of our lives. God is saying, I know you're in a wilderness. I know you're traveling through the darkness of this life. I know the enemy wages war against you, but I am your bread. I am your substance. I am your nourishment. I am the manna rained down from heaven. And as you gather me, as you hunger and thirst for me, as you begin to gather together to hear my word, to search my word, to listen for my voice, to obey my commandments, to expect me to answer you, to expect me to feed you with the answer to your prayers and the answer to your lives and the answer to your problems, then now you are beginning to live on the word, the living word made flesh, Jesus himself. And you're able to grow and be nourished by the manna from heaven. Now, I don't know if that made sense to any of you. I know it's a little different, but this stuff is in here to teach us. There's things God wants us to grow into. Now, they had to pick the manna up. They had to cook it, and they had to eat it. They couldn't produce it. They couldn't grow it. They couldn't make it come. All they could do was expect it, and when it came, receive it. So tonight, we're going to take communion. We're going to partake of the Lord's table tonight. We're going to eat the bread of life. We're going to partake of, in faith. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. And explain what that means as we take of the wine. I know you've been taught many, many things in your lives, and some of you have histories and pasts in different religions. God isn't saying to eat on his flesh, to drink of his blood. God is saying that when you hunger and thirst for my word, when you expect me to answer you, when you listen for my voice, when you obey my commandments, when you obey me and love me and do what I say, when you do these things, now you are entering into eternal life because you are abiding and living and feeding on the bread of life. And there's a full measure for your life, no matter where it's at. You see, he knows exactly where you're at. He knows the trials that you're going through. He knows the worries that you have, the cares that you're living with. He knows exactly. Everyone in here, there's thousands of you in here tonight. Every one of you, if there was time, you'd have a different set of stress and anxiety and worries and troubles that you could tell us about. God knows everyone, and he says every day there is a measure, there is a full measure of my promise, my word, my voice to begin to take you where you need to go through this wilderness. Through this wilderness. But we have to believe it. We have to believe it. We have to gather it. And we have to do it.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Deborah Cobray.
If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about the Rock Church or other resources, log on to www.rockchurch.com.